I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John. Very familiar passage, one that we have spoken from in the past in other venues. But I want to read the first 18 verses as we think today about the living Word, as we come in a while to share at the table of that one who is alive. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Today's text is one that people read sometimes and paraphrase often. I read an article just the other day that said of evangelical Christians, only 10% claim to have ever read the entire Bible. Only 10% claim to have ever read the entire Bible. And I can tell you from experience, and I'm sure that you all could verify, that a lot of times when people quote it or paraphrase it, a lot of what they say is really not there. I get I brace myself for a possible interior chuckle sometimes when people say, "I know it says in the Bible somewhere," and then they say something. And sometimes they're right, but a lot of times not. And most quotes or paraphrases from this particular text only attempt to speak to a few verses and go something like this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us." And that's generally about as far as people go. But you know, that's a tremendous statement. Even in that paraphrase, that is a tremendous statement. And that is something we need to remember. Far too often in our world, and especially today, those words have been overlooked or forgotten. The importance of them doesn't really fall very heavily upon us. But how often do we really think about what this really means, much less what the entire section we read means? And we're not going to go through all 18 verses, verse by verse, today. So what does it mean that the Word was with God and was God? And that, what is that Word anyway? People often confuse it as to what the Word was and is. Recently heard a song about the Word of God. It began softly with the first words from John chapter 1, in a paraphrase, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and was God," and continues to paraphrase verse 2, "Before an eye had seen or ear had heard, there was the Word." Now, who or what is this about? who are these verses about as the Word? Yeah, Jesus. However, the song continued, and John uses the pronoun he, to say, I know the Bible is God's Word. And the rest of the song equates the Bible with the eternal Word of God when it wasn't there in the beginning, but the Word that was there was Jesus, who is not dead or a codified collection of writings, but who is alive. Now, I do not belittle the importance of reading the Bible and studying it. That's why I said a few moments ago, only 10% of evangelical Christians say they've ever read the whole thing. I think we need to be more diligent about reading the Bible and trying to understand it. We have far too many people who know little or nothing about Christianity, and as I said, far too many Christians who don't even read it. But at the same time, we need to be careful when we try to understand this Word and Christ's importance, and not lose that in the process. The Bible does contain a Word of God for us and reminds us of God's activity in history and introduces us to God and shows us something of the life of God, especially as it appears in Jesus, who is the living Word, that pre-existent Christ. And so I want us to talk about that living Word and what it means briefly this morning. As John begins the Gospel, he's writing to a mixed-up world. He really is. Late in the first century, he is writing to a world that has all kinds of philosophies and religions, even within Christianity. You know, we think denominations and differences are a thing of the modern world and postmodern world. No, they were all the way back then. As he's writing to a Christian community who is diverse and in need of words of comfort and guidance. They're in need of words of comfort in part because Christianity was a fringe group. It was a fringe religion compared to their former religious heritage. And they need comfort. They've left the synagogue. They've become a separate community of faith, a Christian community. And for some of them, that was a harsh thing because they had left behind the familiarity of Judaism and the synagogue. While they are sure of what they've witnessed and have learned, they're still a little unsteady as they are bombarded by all sorts of theologies and ideologies. There's some distress, especially because of Gnostic Christianity. It arose with an emphasis on a Gnostic Redeemer that they said was Jesus, that was all spirit and not human at all. It was a ghost figure that came to lead people into special knowledge. This Gnostic Redeemer was to tell them that they are really just like God deep down inside. In fact, one Gnostic teacher, Monoimus, used to say, abandon the search outside of yourself for God. Rather, look deep within to that which at the core of your being makes you who you are. There you will find God and He will be you. That sounds kind of New Age, doesn't it? As I've said before, it's just old age repackaged. But a lot of folks today, even some folks in Christian communities, teach us that we are godlike and that we can solve all the world's problems. On the other side was another group of Christians that were called Ebionites, who looked beyond the divinity and said, no, Jesus was not divine at all. He was a great man, just like David and Solomon and Moses. He was extraordinary, but he was all human. And they built their Christian church around that idea, that there was just humanity in Jesus and no divinity. They had forgotten that God in Christ was before all things, not just in order, but had existed before everything else on the earth had existed. And into this mixed up situation, John writes these powerful opening words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us." As a reminder that that Word was and is God. It's not a codified or dead Word. It is a living Word. A living Christ who was before all things, in all things, above all things. Something that they sometimes set off to the side in the hustle and bustle of their everyday lives and forgot about. And they, like many today, allow jobs, family, social life, and sometimes even church busyness to distract them from truly understanding Jesus as God incarnate and as present with them daily, not just sometime past or off in the future. In this text, we are not only told that the divine Word, the Logos, existed before the foundation of the world, but that He is the source of life and light, and is God's glory revealed to the world. Gnostic Christians claimed that their way was God's way, and only a select group could find the real truth. But John needed to remind his readers that God in Christ came to all and for all, not just a small group. Anyone who would come to be with Him and understand Him as the living Word of God. John does use some of the language that's familiar to those Gnostics, as he strongly attests that this spiritual living Word became flesh and lived among us. And that in the Word become flesh, that is, the living and breathing Jesus, we see the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And even though John says at the end of this section, this prologue to the Gospel, that no one has seen God, his assertion that Christ makes God known to us indicates that we do see God in actuality. No one's been to heaven and seen God, but we do see God. Notice I didn't say we have seen. We do see. We see God in the face of Jesus and in the activity of His living. An example of this is given by Kenneth Lyle. He writes that in Les Miserables, the main character, Jean Valjean, is always on the run, fearful of his archenemy. At the end of his life, after doing good and by actually sparing the life of his enemy, Jean Valjean concludes that to love another person is to see the face of God. And I would submit to you that to love another person in Christ is not just to see the face of God, but to be, in some sense, the face of God for that person in need. In the living Word, Jesus the Christ, we see the face of God revealed in ways we could never imagine ourselves. John is telling us that in the pre-existent Christ, we find the ultimate revelation of who God is, for yesterday, today, and forever. And as followers of the living Word made flesh, we reveal the face of God when we do good to others. Not for reward, not for glory, but because of the Word that lives within and around and in and through us. That living Word who gave Himself up for our sins and brought the possibility of redemption through His life, His death, and His resurrection. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word that was the source of life and light became flesh, and not only dwelled among us, but that living Word dwells among us even today. We remember this when we gather for communion, the Lord's Supper. However, as we prepare to come together around this table in a few moments, we need to also remember not just the sacrifice that that living Word made for us. That living Word made flesh is still the living Word of God today. There is no other. Jesus is alive. And we come to remember that life, that death, but more importantly, that resurrection which brings us into true living. May we pray. O Lord our God, we thank You. We thank You that Your Word is alive. Is alive in Jesus. Is alive within us when we live in connection with Him. Help us to let others see the face of God because of Your love that shines through us in the living Word. It's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. As we prepare to come to table, our hymn is number 480, Only Trust Him. If He is indeed that living Word, what we need to do is trust Him, not just for our redemption, but for helping us to live lives as God's living Word comes within us. Our altar is open for any decision that you would make. Hymn number 480, Only Trust Him.